Well, the most successful folk rock duo of the 60s, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, produced a series of memorable hit albums and singles featuring their clean, crisp harmonies, supported by acoustic and electric guitars, and of course Simon's fine songwriting. Let's now hear a compilation of some of the great music made by Simon and Garfunkel.
Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary. Was a true love of mine.
Celia, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Celia, I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you, please come home. Celia, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Celia, I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you, please to come home. Oh, oh, oh.
I'd rather be a forest than a street. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would. I'd rather feel the earth beneath my feet. Yes, I would. If I only could, I surely would.
You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. La-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy.
When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company. Strangers in the quiet of the railway station, when I'm scared, laying low, seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know.
Simon and Garfunkel were childhood friends while growing up together in Forest Hills, New York, and they began making records in 1957, performing and often writing their own material in something of a juvenile Everly Brothers style. Calling themselves Tom and Jerry, their first single, Hey Schoolgirl, actually made the top 50, but a series of follow-ups went nowhere. The duo split up, and Simon continued to struggle to make it in the music business as a songwriter and occasional performer, sometimes using the names of Jerry Landis or Tico and the Triumphs. But by the early 60s, they both came under the influence of folk music. However, when they re-teamed, it was as a folk duo. though Simon's pop roots would serve them well with a mix of folk and pop influences. They initially recorded an unsuccessful acoustic debut as Simon and Garfunkel, not Tom and Jerry, in 1964 with Wednesday Morning 3 AM. And they again went their separate ways, with Simon moving to England, where he played the folk circuit and recorded an obscure solo album. The Simon and Garfunkel story might have ended there, except for a brainstorm of their producer Tom Wilson, who also produced several of Bob Dylan's early albums. Folk rock was really taking off in 1965, and Wilson, who'd helped Dylan electrify his sound, took the strongest track from Simon and Garfunkel's debut, The Sounds of Silence, and embellished it with electric guitars, basses, and drums. It got to the number one in early 1966, giving that duo the impetus to reunite and have a serious go at a recording career. Here now is that song.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath a halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. Split the night, the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell, echoing the winds of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to a neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, the tenement halls, whispering the sounds of silence.
Paul Simon returned from the UK back to the US soon after that particular record, and in 1966 and 67 they were regular visitors to the pop charts with some of the best folk rock of that era, including songs like I Am a Rock and A Hazy Shade of Winter. Another successful song was Homeward Bound, which later became the US number 5, which Paul Simon wrote about life on the road while he was touring in England in 1965. He was inspired to write the song while waiting at Ditton railway station on the outskirts of Widnes in northwest England. A plaque commemorating this particular claim to fame was displayed at Ditton Railway Station until it was closed in 1994 when the plaque was moved to the ticket office in the Liverpool-bound platform of the nearby Widnes Railway Station. Simon is quoted as saying, "If you've ever seen Widnes, then you'd know why I was keen to get back to London as quickly as possible."
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. And each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factories, and every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Escaping home, where my music's playing home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again, I'll play the game and pretend. But all my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness and harmony. I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts are escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Silently for me.
Although Simon and Garfunkel's early albums were somewhat erratic, they steadily improved as Simon sharpened his songwriting and as the duo became more comfortable and adventurous in the studio. The execution of their music was so clean and tasteful that it actually cost them some points during the so-called psychedelic era, which was a bit silly, really. They were far from the raunchiest thing going, but they managed to pull off the nifty feat of appealing to varying segments of the pop and rock audience and various age groups, not just limited to adolescents, without compromising their own music. Parsley, Sage, Rosemary and Thyme, late 1966, was their first really consistent album. Bookends in 1968, which actually blended previously released singles with some new material, reflected their growing maturity. And their song Mrs. Robinson became one of the biggest singles of the late 60s after it was prominently featured in one of the best films of that period, The Graduate, which also had other Simon and Garfunkel songs on the soundtrack.
Thank you. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes. It's a little secret, just the Robinson's affair. Most of all, you got to hide it from the kids. Coo-coo-ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon. Going to the candidates' debate. Shout about it when you've got to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Ooh. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe to Joe has left and gone away.
It was unsurprising in retrospect that the duo's partnership began to weaken in the late 60s. They'd known each other most of their lives and they'd been performing together for over a decade. Simon began to feel constrained by the limits of working with the same collaborator, and Garfunkel, who wrote virtually none of the material, felt overshadowed by the songwriting talents of Simon, although Garfunkel's high tenor was crucial to their appeal. They started to record some of their contributions separately in the studio and barely played live at all in 1969 as Garfunkel began to pursue an acting career. In their final studio album, Bridge Over Troubled Water, it was an enormous success. It topped the charts for 10 weeks and it contained four hit singles, the title track, and then there was The Boxer, Cecilia, and El Condor Pasa. It was certainly their most musically ambitious album, with Bridge Over Troubled Water and The Boxer employing thundering drums and tasteful orchestration, and Cecilia marking one of Simon's first forays into South African rhythms. It also included the upbeat, shrill, vibrant trumpet-backed track Keep the Customer Satisfied, and this entire album caught the confused and reflective tenor of those times better than almost any other popular release of 1970.
Gee, but it's great to be back home. Home is where I want to be. It's the same old story, yeah. Everywhere I go, I get slandered, libeled. I hear words I never heard in the Bible. And I'm one step ahead of the shoe shine, two steps away from the county line. Just trying to keep my customers satisfied, satisfied. The sheriff said to me, tell me what you come here for, boy. You better get your bags and flee. You're in trouble, boy, and now you're heading into war. It's the same old story. Everywhere I go,
slander.
Well, that would be their last album of new material, Bridge Over Troubled Water, and although they didn't necessarily intend to break up at the time, the break from recording eventually became permanent as Simon began a solo career that brought him as much success as the Simon and Garfunkel outings. And Garfunkel, of course, pursued simultaneous acting and recording careers. They did reunite in 1975 for a top 10 single called My Little Town and periodically performed together since then, without ever coming close to generating albums of new material. A 1981 concert in New York's Central Park attracted 500,000 fans and was commemorated with a live album. They also toured in the early 80s, but a planned studio album was cancelled due to artistic differences. And so, to end this tribute to Simon and Garfunkel, I'd like to play the song that I consider to be their signature. It's the title track from that enormously successful album, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
When you're on the street.